Would you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be found acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A gentleman was working in his backyard one day, and his neighbor began to talk to him over the fence. And his neighbor said, "Yeah, my wife and I went to one of those seminars yesterday, you know, where they teach you ways to improve your memory." And his neighbor said, "Really? What was the name of the speaker?" And the man said, "What's the name of that flower that smells so good and has thorns? You mean a rose?" "Yeah." And he calls over his shoulder, "Hey, Rose, what was the name of that speaker we heard yesterday?" We all have problems remembering. And it's a problem that I am discovering seems to affect us more and more as I and we grow older. But you know, it's something that we deal with all of our lives. If you forget about problems remembering when you were young, ask any young person studying to take a test. Or ask an actor trying to learn lines for a play. It's not just an older age thing. The truth of the matter is, if you think about it, every day we are bombarded with thousands and thousands of bits and pieces of information. It's a wonder that we remember as much as we do. I always have to laugh, as most of you know by now, I like to watch those CSI forensic type shows and police shows and things. And they always ask the people who were there, "Now, what do you remember?" "Well, I wasn't looking for somebody to get shot, so I don't remember anything that's of any importance." It's hard because we're so bombarded. And I mention this because our faith is about remembering. Remembering the God who created all that was, is, and all that ever will be. Remembering the Son who came and lived among us and taught us, who loved us. And remembering the Holy Spirit who was sent to help us remember the first two. This is one of the things, every time I go to a service at the Jewish synagogue, I'm always struck because each week the Shabbat service and the Sabbath service includes a recapitulation of the salvation story, the Exodus story, when God called them forth. And so each week they remember that story. And to a degree we do too, but in a different way. In many ways, I think we can think, from the Christian tradition, we can think of the Holy Spirit as the prompter. You know, we're familiar with the two angled pieces of glass that are on both sides of the president when he's speaking. Well, those pieces of glass are showing him his speech. It's scrolling through slowly as he speaks, so he can be looking up at the people while he's speaking. That's a teleprompter. But to the rest of us, they look like just pieces of glass. But in the old days, the theater prompter sat under a little dome in the middle of the stage, half under the floor and half above the floor of the stage. And he had the full script in front of him. And when an actor forgot their lines, he would call it out to them. Nowadays, the prompter is in the side wings calling it out from the side. Or I would imagine even that they have little hearing aid type devices where the prompter says it into a microphone and it gets beamed out to the actor. Remembering is important. It's an important act of our faith. But it's also one of the hardest things to do to throughout our lives. And Jesus makes it clear, though, that there's remembering, but then there's true remembering. There are those who remember history. And there are those who say they remember history, but what they do is they reinvent the history that they supposedly remember. And it's interesting because we see a progression in the Gospel of John and in the John the Evangelist writings of 1 John, a progression that clears up some of this, or works to help with this issue of reinventing history. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." Remind you. Now, Jesus broadens it a little bit in our passage today, from John chapter 16. "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." So it's not just remembering now, but it's words of truth coming to us through the Spirit. The Spirit is not only the prompter, but a way to the truth. But this has its own problems. Dr. William Loder of Murdoch University and the United Church of Canada wrote about this in a commentary on our John passage. "This sounds like carte blanche for future disciples to claim almost anything as warranted by the Spirit. It no longer had to have a link with memory of what the historical Jesus had said. In 1 John, we find the writer having to counter such claims to the Spirit and urging that his hearers learn to develop criteria to test for the Spirit." Well, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the writer provides that antidote, as Dr. Loder points out, asking the hearer to be sure that something is of the Spirit. He writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." The voice of the true Spirit is the one that calls us to remember the totality, the whole of Christ's life. There are many who speak for the Lord, but their actions or their words do not mesh with the totality of Christ's life, with His words and His teachings. In essence, what they do is reinvent Christ into a Christ that they feel like they can live with, a Christ of their own making. It's important to note that according to John in chapter 16 and 1 John chapter 4, the Spirit does not reinvent Christ, but rather is a logical progression of the Trinity. God creates, God creator, God creates through the power of the Word, which in John is Jesus. In the very beginning of John, we hear Jesus is the Word of God. And without the Word, nothing came into being. So we have the creative mind, the creative energy, and then we've got the Word that makes it happen. The Creator and the Son have a certain independence, at least in John's understanding. But the Holy Spirit can only say what the Creator and the Son tell it to say. And that's why the Spirit always must be checked, or our inklings of the Spirit must always be checked back to the Creator and the Son. And if that doesn't happen, then you get things like Hitler's Holocaust. You get things like Westboro Baptist Church celebrating the death of soldiers. You get a reinvention of the nature of Christ and of Christ's message. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day in which we remember the war dead. Over the years, I've gradually changed in my understanding and my, what should I say, my belief in or my seeing the need of Memorial Day. When I was growing up in Indiana, Memorial Day meant one thing. You put out the flags and then you go turn on the radio and listen to the 500-mile race. That's what Memorial Day was all about. And when I put up the flags in the front yard, there was an American flag and a checkered flag. An American flag and a checkered flag. They were synonymous. But especially in my time here in Sterling, and every year participating in the ceremony at the schools, I've come to realize that Memorial Day is a very important time to remember. But it's important that we remember the right thing. Over the years, I've recognized that it's easy for us to glorify war, especially when we haven't fought in it. Especially when our patriotic juices get stirred up because of some wrong that we've perceived to our nation. But the message of Memorial Day counteracts that and reminds us that freedom has a cost. One writer wrote, "The origin of the day began with the remembering of the dead in the Civil War. The woman of Pennsylvania who decorated Union graves in August of 1864. The woman of Virginia who decorated Confederate graves in April of 1865. The women of Columbus, Mississippi, who decorated the graves of both Union and Confederate dead. And all of this prompted Horace Greeley to write an editorial. And the subsequent events which call forth for a national observance of such memorials. This day reminds us of all of our war dead. Hence, freedom has a cost. As we continue to lose the lives and voices of those who fought in the big wars of the 20th century, it becomes easy to reinvent the wars. Today, we hear about smart bombs and drones and all that kind of stuff. Back then, it was people running over fields being shot at and fighting trench warfare. It's very different. It's very easy to forget what happened. And it becomes easy to reinvent war. To say that the Holocaust never happened. To fit one's political beliefs. Well, the same is true for our religious beliefs as well. And that's why we must be so careful when we interpret what we have read in the Bible. Make sure that it meshes with the whole life and teachings of Jesus. For centuries, Christians killed Jews, especially around Holy Week and Good Friday, because Jews were the Jesus killers. Yet, that didn't mesh with the life of Christ. It was Christ who said on the cross to those who nailed it to him to it, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." There is no way this true spirit would have said, "Kill the Jews." There are many who say that Christ, by Christ saying, "You will always have the hungry among you," when Judas complained when the woman with the alabaster jar breaks it open and pours ointment on his hair. And Jesus, and he said, "Complained, Lord, we could have sold that for a lot of money and fed the poor and the hungry." And Jesus said, "You will always have the hungry." And there are those who hear that, and they say that the church and the government should not feel the need to pass a decent minimum wage, or that they shouldn't have, you don't have to have a food stamp program. The life and the teachings of Jesus tell a different story. Jesus told the story of those who worked 1 hour, getting the same amount of pay as those who worked all day, because it was a living wage. Jesus fed and touched those who were hungry, encouraged those who had food to share it in the feeding of the 5,000. The Trinity helps us to remember, but it also challenges us to be responsible. It's not about remembering Bible verses and then being able to whip them out to explain something. It's about constantly taking what we hear and going back to the Bible and testing it. What we think about it. And doing that over and over and over. That is the Spirit of truth speaking to us. Now we have to pray that that same Spirit will give us the will to listen to what it's saying. Amen.